The Gemara started off by asking a double stira, a stira between the shittos of Rav Meir and the shittos of Rabbi Yehuda. On the one hand, the Gemara had said that Rav Meir is choshesh lemisa, that's why he doesn't allow an animal to be used as a dofen l'sukkah, because according to Abaye, Rav Meir is concerned that the animal is going to drop dead and then it's not going to be a dofen for the sukkah anymore. But on the other hand, when it comes to using a barrel that and mentally separating trumas ha-maisros from the wine that's in the barrel on the smach that later on you'll actually physically separate the trumas and the maestros, Rav Meir is not concerned that the barrel might break in the interim. All of a sudden he's not concerned about Misa. So why is it that he's concerned about the animal dying but not about the barrel breaking? So the Gemara answers, no, Misa shchicha b'kias anod, lo shchicha. When it comes to Misa, that's something that's very common. But a barrel breaking is not as common because you can protect that. You can appoint a shomer to make sure it doesn't happen. We have a stir in Rabbi Yehuda Shita also, because when it comes to the animal being used as a dof on the sukkah, Rabbi Yehuda is not worried that the animal is going to die. Rabbi Yehuda thinks the animal is going to survive just fine. Yet when it comes to the barrel, apparently Rabbi Yehuda is worried that the barrel is going to break because he does not hold that the trumas and maestros are going to work in that situation. So isn't that a stira in Rabbi Yehuda? So the Gemara says, no, we misunderstood Rabbi Yehuda by the wine barrel. It has nothing to do with the concern that the barrel is going to break. Rather, it's mishum de les lebrera. He simply doesn't hold that you could be mafresh trumas and maestros mentally on the smach that later you're going to physically do it, and retroactively it will be clarified that that was the trumas and maestros the whole time. He simply doesn't hold of the concept of Breira. But the Gemara pushes further and says, but wait a second, does Rabbi Yehuda not really concern himself with the possibility of someone dropping dead? What about the very first Mishnah in Maseches Yuma, where we say that the Kohen Gadol is af isha acheres maskinin lo, that we even prepare a second wife for him, Shema Tomos Ishto, lest his wife die, and we know that he has to achieve kapara ba'ado uva ad beso, for himself and for his beso zu ishto, for his wife. So he's going to need to have a wife. And therefore, because of the concern that his wife will die, we set up another wife for him. So don't you see Rabbi Yehuda's choshish for Misa? So Gemara says, that's a special din, mala asu b'kapara, a special chumra we have by the kapara of Yom HaKippurim. Now the Gemara goes back to say, okay, Rav Meir said that you're not allowed to use an animal as a dofen l'sukkah, and there were two reasons we gave on the previous daf, either because the animal might run away or the animal might drop dead. But the Gemara says there are two other reasons that might be reasons on a d'oraisa level that you're not allowed to use an animal for a wall of a sukkah. It could be that a mayor holds kol mechitza shomedes beruach in a mechitza, that any mechitza that's being held up by air or wind or the breath of the animal is not considered a mechitza. Or a second possibility on a d'oraisa level is that maybe a mayor holds kol mechitza sheina asuya b'dei adam in a mechitza. Maybe any mechitza that's not man-made is not a valid mechitza. So, for example, nafkamina between these two would be if you use a balloon as a mechitza. The balloon is filled with air, so it's only standing by air, but on the other hand, it's asu b'dei adam. On Amud Beis, the Gemara discusses we had mentioned that we don't write gitei nashim on according to Rabbi Yossi Aglili, we don't write gitei nashim on an animal either. So the Gemara says that Rabbi Yossi Aglili learns this from the pasuk that says v'kasav la sefer krisus. So from the fact that it says sefer, that would imply that you can only write on an actual scroll, but v'kasav la is a more expansive term, tells me you could do more than a scroll. So we say that you can write on more than just a scroll, but it has to be something that's similar to a scroll in that it can't be a living thing, so it can't be an animal, and it can't be something that's ochel, it can't be anything that's food. And then the Gemara just goes back and forth to try to figure out how to cheshbon every single word in that pasuk because of the Sefer Krisos, what the halachos that we learn from that are, according to both Rabbi Yossi Aglili and the Rabbanan. We mention along the way that the get has to have sviras dvarim, it has to tell the story of the divorce. We mention along the way that that you can only be megarish a woman with a shtar, it cannot be done with kesef, even though one marries a woman with kesef. And we also learned that that whenever a person gets divorced, it has to be kores, it has to be an absolute severing of ties. It can't be an open-ended kind of thing where there's a condition that could go on forever and ever that would hold the divorce back. And then at the end of the daf, we didn't get to it in today's shir, but the Mishnah discusses if a person makes a sukkah bein ha'ilanos, and the ilanos, the trees, are actually the walls of the sukkah, so it's going to be kosher. And the Gemara tells us that any mechitza that's not able to withstand a ruach metzuya, a common wind, is not a valid mechitza. And we question that from our Mishnah, because trees typically cannot withstand a common wind. But the Gemara says that we're talking about very strong trees over here that are either tied down or can withstand a common wind on their own. And then the Gemara goes on to bring three proofs against this rule that a mechitza that sways in the wind is not a good mechitza. Be'ez Hashem, we'll cover that tomorrow.